Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news from the WordPress community. Now, welcome your hosts, David Wormsley. Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley. Wait, hang on, what just happened? Oh, I know. Yeah, some explaining to do. So back in 2023, David Wormsley announced that he was no longer going to be taking part in the WP Builds podcast as he was moving away from using WordPress. And although we've smuggled David in with the No Script Show episodes, it is finally time to turn our attention to Pastures New. David will no longer be appearing on this podcast, but we will still be doing the No Script Show. You can find that over at noscript.show. But it marks a milestone, a line in the sand, and today is the first episode in a whole host of new shows that WP Builds are going to be putting on. You have reached episode number 386, and it's entitled, What Just Happened? A new show with Ray Morey from The Repository, episode 1. It was published on Thursday, the 22nd of August, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I will explain all about this and the other new shows in just a moment. But first, a few bits of housekeeping. If you're enjoying what we do at WP Builds, please shout about it. Head to our WP Builds subscribe page, that's wpbuilds.com/subscribe, and put your email into the box there, and we will send you some emails each time we produce a new bit of content. That's typically a podcast episode like you're listening to now, or the This Week in WordPress show, which we record on a Monday and then publish on a Tuesday. So two bits of content there. You can also follow us on things like Twitter and YouTube. If you do, like and subscribe. Go over there and smash that bell and whatever else you can do on YouTube. I honestly have no idea. The other thing to mention, though, is if you would like to have your product or service in front of a WordPress-specific audience, which is exactly what we have, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. Four companies that have done that are GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, Omnisend, and Memberful. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with The Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also sponsored by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. We're also sponsored by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes! That Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Well, try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And finally, we are sponsored by Memberful. Building a membership website? Check out Memberful. Memberful allows you to easily add gated content, private member spaces, payment collection, and more to your WordPress website. Get started for free at memberful.com/WPBuilds. That's memberful.com/WPBuilds. And sincere thanks go out to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, Omnisend, and Memberful for their continued support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, as I said at the top of the show, it's bye-bye to David Wormsley. although the friendship still remains, but we have a whole host of new shows coming up. These shows are going to be representing many people that you know in the WordPress community, experts in their fields. And the first one that I'm going to tell you about is a show called What Just Happened. It's with Ray Morey, and the idea is that we're going to, between us, sum up the previous 3 or 4 months in the WordPress space, picking out the stories which we think have been most impactful and most interesting. Ray creates the repository email. We talk about that in the episode. I suggest that you go and sign up for that because it's a really, really good publication. But it does mean that Ray has got a lot of expertise thinking about WordPress from a high perspective. She's got her hands on all of the stories. And so it's really nice having this first chat with her, and hopefully it will be the start of many. I will drip feed information about all of the new shows as they come up. But welcome, Ray, to the WP Builds family, and I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Ray Morey. How are you doing, Ray?
I'm good, Nathan. How are you?
Yeah, really, really good. This is going to be something exciting. We've said goodbye to David Wormsley. Over many, many years, since 2016, I've been doing a podcast with David Wormsley every other week. And so we've done hundreds of episodes. But he decided WordPress was no longer for him. We're doing something slightly different called the NoScript Show. You can find that in the show notes. But what I've decided to do with the WP Builds podcast is inject other voices into the black hole that was left by David Wormsley. And so I've got a cornucopia of fun people in the WordPress community lined up to make content with me. But first up, it's Ray, who's joining me all the way from, well, I know Australia, but I don't really know where in Australia. Where are you?
Well, I'm coming to the black hole from Melbourne. Right at the bottom of Australia. Not quite the bottom.
Yeah.
That would be Tasmania. Yeah.
I'm gonna just big up Ray for a bit, and then, you know, Reika, you can take the opportunity to say anything that I missed out, because there's probably a boatload of things that I won't know about you. But Ray produces the newsletter in the WordPress space, and I don't say that lightly. I produce a newsletter, but it's no good in comparison to Ray's newsletter. It's called The Repository. The URL for that, and honestly, pause what you're doing now. Just press pause on the podcast player and go to your browser of choice and type in therepository.email. Did I get that right?
Yes, that's very kind of you to say.
Yeah, therepository.email, and go and subscribe to it. And every Friday, you're going to get a bucket load of well-written, editorialized quality journalism. And there's not much of that in the WordPress space at the moment. You know, there's loads of newsletters, but there's not much written by somebody that's been in journalism for years and years. So I know you from that. We met at WordCamp Asia, which was a really lovely experience.
We did.
But I've been consuming your content for years, and it very quickly became my default way of figuring out what I was going to talk about on the This Week in WordPress show. So we'll do this one time, Ray, because I know that you're going to be coming back every quarter, hopefully, to do this with me every 3 months or so. But we'll do this one bio this first time around. Do you just want to fill in all the bits and pieces that have got nothing to do with the repository or how you got there?
Oh, geez. Well, I just wrote my WordPress life story recently for HeroPress, so go search for me there. I've been working with, I guess everyone starts with how long they've been working with WordPress, or, you know, when they found it. I've always been a bit of a nerd making websites when I wasn't writing stories. I found WordPress back in, I don't know the exact year, but probably started building sites with it around like 2010 or so, making sites for family and friends, non-profit community groups. I worked as a newspaper journalist for a while in Australia for Fairfax and News Limited, and eventually got a bit disillusioned with that because it's journalism, as much as I love working in the industry. So I decided to leave that and pursue a career in web development, I guess, having studied computer science at uni. So I made the jump to working from a newspaper to working for WPMU Dev around 2013, and that's when I started working with James Farmer and the team there, looking after the blog. And yeah, it was a bit of a baptism of fire, really immersing myself in the WordPress community and working with WordPress. And after several years there, I went to consulting and working with lots of great businesses in the WordPress space as a consultant doing comms and marketing. Yeah, and then from there, that's when one of my clients at the time was Kim Gerstad, who runs or founded MailPoet. And it was with Kim that I originally started the repository. And yeah, I guess the rest is history there. I've been running that now for almost 5 years. Kim's since stepped away. He sold MailPoet to Automatic and is probably living his best life somewhere. and, yeah, so I've continued publishing the repository. It's a weekly email for people who are really, really, really into WordPress and want to know what's going on. I cover the big headlines and just what people need to know week to week. The idea is that it's a quick way for people to get the news fast. And I really prioritise high quality news and writing. I'm very pedantic about writing. I hate going back and finding an issue where I've had a spelling mistake. Yeah, that kind of thing. You know, it's really, like really hard to go back and listen to yourself or reread something that you've done. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really is brilliant content, and I have some insight because, like I say, we met at WordCamp Asia. I have some insight into how long it takes for you to write it, but it isn't just a bunch of links, is it? You're actually putting your own thoughts into there, and you're making connections between one story and another story. And I realize it must take you a very, very long time, and I imagine for a lengthy period of time, it was a bit of a labor of love. But my intuition, because of what we talked about before we hit record, is that you're hoping in the year 2025 to take it from just a newsletter into something a little bit more. I don't know if you want to talk about that or not.
Yeah, yeah, why not? Well, before 2025, hopefully, but later this year, I'm looking to start publishing longer form news. I really want it to be. I want the repository to be a place where the project community and business meets, where people can read longer form news, really high quality content about what's happening in WordPress. But also I'm looking at expanding into open source because there are so many interesting things happening outside of WordPress. There's so much going on in the open source space in Europe. If anybody's following what's happening in Drupal, it's really interesting what's happening with their Starshot initiative, which is now Drupal CMS. There's lots going on that, you know, it's really easy. And this is something I was talking about recently with Bob at Do The Woo. You know, there's so much happening in WordPress. It's easy to just be stuck in this bubble and not realize what other open source communities are doing to move forward their software.
I know this feeling because I am stuck in this bubble. That's exactly it. But I came from Drupal and from a bunch of different open source projects that I tried over the years and kind of ended up with WordPress more or less by accident, really, but then stayed here and haven't really looked around since then. So that's kind of interesting. So if I subscribe to the repository, you're hoping to take it off into all sorts of open source directions as well. That's cool to know. By the way, is the repository, the website, is that at the same URL that I mentioned for the email? So this .email domain, is that the same as the website that you're using to publish your content, or is that on a sort of .com or something like that?
Yeah, no, the idea is that it'll be the same domain, but I also own the repository.news, so that's what I'll be sending people to.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, well, that is amazing. And honestly, once more, if you didn't pause it, stop now. Hit the pause button. Go to the repository.email and sign up. And then just trust me, open the email on Friday and you're going to get this lengthy email which Ray has written, and it'll give you everything that you need to know that happened in the previous week. And then, of course, go to This Week in WordPress on Monday, and I will have cribbed that newsletter heavily for the the items that we discuss. Now, on to this show. So Ray, hopefully, is going to be joining me every quarter to do, well, basically, we're going to recap what's happened over the last 3 months. So I contacted Ray probably 3 or so months ago, and we started this spreadsheet, and we put together things that had happened over the last 3 months that we thought were interesting, significant. And then just now, before we hit record, we cribbed it. We took it down from, I don't know, 30 items to something more like 13.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was a lot. And we're now down to about 14 or 15 items, something like that. And that's the intention of this show. When Ray's on, we're going to be summing up the news from the mm-hmm. previous 3 months and doing our best to sort of paint a picture of where did that story go? Was it impactful? You know, quite a few of the stories that we thought were going to be important that we added to the spreadsheet just dropped off because, you know, they never got followed up by anything and so on. So there's no particular order to it. It's just going to be what comes out of our mouths in the order that it comes out. and I'm going to kick us off with the first one. I should say that I'm going to put all of the links to the items that we discuss into the show notes that come with this. So if you go to wpbuilds.com, search for episodes with Ray Morey in them. Then you'll be able to find it, and all of the links will go in there. So the first one that we want to mention was on make.wordpress.org, and it was about the Media Core. And this is a bit self-serving, really, because we're both really into, you know, WordPress media. I imagine that most people who touch WordPress haven't the faintest interest in media or anything to do with that. They just want to click publish and, you know, have a blog or whatever it may be. But the idea really with this story is putting together a collection of people like you, like I, and a bunch of other people. You know, I can imagine people like Bob from Do The Woo and various other people with YouTube channels and so on. And to give them sort of, in air quotes, special access to information coming out of WordPress so that they can then disseminate it. I got the feeling that the community didn't necessarily think that this was the best idea. I think there were some people who thought that, well, what qualifies anybody to be part of that gatekeeping community? And, you know, who gets to be in that media core and who doesn't? What were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, no, it's interesting to kick off, you know, this news focused podcast with this concept. I think when it was first announced, there was some shock because the marketing team was put on ice and there's no a clear idea of what's going to happen to that. And then we've had this media core set up, which is being run by automatic employees. And I get the idea Josepha wants to make sure that, you know, this experiment runs efficiently. And it's also interesting that this media core is focused on WordPress, you know, content creators and news publishers, not external and not journalists or media external to WordPress. That's an interesting one. But personally, I don't know if enjoying is the right word. Maybe that is. But I'm benefiting from this. Hats off to Ray Martinez, who has been leading this experiment. Communication with her regularly, and she has been very helpful as a media contact, helping source information for me, putting me in touch with people for interviews. She understands that the work we do is very time sensitive, so she tries to do things really quickly, which is often pretty difficult with time zones. I'm based in Melbourne and I'm not quite sure where she is, but it's definitely not in my time zone. So it's interesting to unpack this because people who aren't in the media might not see what the media core is actually doing, but they are doing something, definitely. Even this week with the announcement of the state of the word that's happening. I don't know if you got one, Nathan, but I got an invite to Tokyo. Not that I'm going to go, but it was all very organized. We got the media kit, which included imagery that we can use, text we can use. It was all very professional and very organized and of the standard you would expect if you were. Like, I've worked as a professional journalist and that's what I would expect from a company that was trying to, you know, facilitate information and make sure that I could do my job well. So, yeah, I think the media core is doing well so far. It's not clear how, and this is a question I asked during the last media briefing as well. It's not clear how the media corps' work is being measured against Josepha's big project goals that she set out for this year. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But from what I understand, they've got until the end of the year to kind of prove what the media corps' worth is.
It's kind of an interesting concept because it feels to me as if it's born out of something bigger, and that is WordPress's, in air quotes, struggle against proprietary platforms who have giant marketing budgets. So if you think Wix, Squarespace, Shopify, all of these kind of things. They, in the case of Wix, I'm cribbing this data from something that Jamie Marsland put out in a video. I think he said they've got 400, or they did when he put the video out, 400 full-time media people at Wix. And so that's a giant budget just for the salaries alone. And then presumably they've got a budget for, I don't know, television commercials, radio commercials, ads on Facebook and what have you. And with that in mind, WordPress doesn't have anything like that. Obviously, there's no budget. So we've got to be, or the media corps has got to be inventive with that. And I guess a fairly decent way to short circuit that is to go out to people who, like you, have an audience and facilitate. And so it becomes that this fire hose of information coming out of .org to people like you who wish to consume it. They'll send you the information. They'll be on hand to supply you with the information. And that just seems like a really good idea. Where it seemed to go wrong was right at the outset, there was a bit of opacity on who got included and what the direction of travel was. But for me, the direction of travel, that was a good place to start. But it would be kind of nice, I suppose, in the future to see it stretching out to those bigger organizations. You know,
yeah,
like
agree.
If an organization's got 43% of the internet under it, you know, that's a powerful proposition. And so, you know, the likes of the BBC, and I don't know the names of the channels in the US or Australia, but, you know, having communications and relationships with those people so that when a big WordPress story drops, those organizations can pick it up. I mean, that's maybe a bit grand. Maybe it's more like The Verge or TechCrunch or, you know, something more niche. But do you know what I mean? Like having those tendrils out there, but cutting their teeth on the people already in the community and seeing how that works. So anyway, there's our first story. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on. We've got a lot to cover.
Okay. We have. So this is, it's the year 2024. What are we going to say? We're going to say the words AI. Because, you know, the AI is literally everywhere. I have this thing that, you know, if I'd said the words AI 5 years ago, I don't think most people would know what it even meant. And now, more or less, all of us in the technology space are using it all the time. But this is a bit of a story about automatic, and maybe Tumblr comes into it, and WordPress.com and all of that. Using Perplexity AI. Now, I think you know more about this story than I do, but, you know, caveat emptor, both of us are coming to this kind of cold. This might have been 3 months ago that we wrote about it, but we'll do our best. What was this story about? Were Perplexity up to?
This was relatively recent. So I honestly had not heard much about Perplexity before this story came up. So basically, Automattic has joined Perplexity's new publisher partner program, which the idea is that bloggers who blog with WordPress.com or people have sites with WordPress.com are going to be able to be paid a share of the revenue if their content appears in Perplexity's search results. And it's not just Automattic that signed up. Time, Der Spiegel, Fortune have also signed up. So there's some pretty big companies that have signed up.
Yeah.
Looking into this story, I found it interesting that WordPress.com is participating in this program but not Tumblr. And also WordPress VIP and smaller news outlets that use Newspack are excluded from this deal as well. So that's a really interesting point because, as you know, Automattic was on the verge of announcing its partnership with OpenAI and Midjourney a few months ago. For WordPress.com and Tumblr user data to be you know, used to train their AI, and that got squashed when 404 Media blew up the story. So it's interesting to see that Tumblr has been excluded from this program. I don't know. It's an interesting one because it's not clear how much people are going to be paid if their content appears in search results.
Yeah.
You know, what's your take on it?
Well, it's interesting because I really feel like the whole AI thing has some, like, it's now proven to be really good at some things. Like, so if I give it, I don't know, Shakespeare's full works, and I tell the AI, okay, only use that corpus of information for my answers, please, then it's really good. You know, it's really useful, mm-hmm. and I know what the boundaries are. But I'm not sure that I'm so sanguine about the entire internet getting scooped up by these AI companies, largely because I just don't really know what their motives are. Well, aside from, I imagine, profit, I don't really know. So I feel like we're kind of wandering into something with our eyes closed a bit. And I also feel it would be a shame if we got to the scenario where, and in this case, let's say WordPress.com, but imagine also that we were in a scenario where your WordPress.org website was being scraped as well, where the search engines, Perplexity, Google, whatever it may be, have your content and they surface it without necessarily providing a link back to you, because it feels like more and more that's where search is going. It's about providing an answer at the moment you ask it a question and not really a list of links. You know, you can see that in the search results pages. You know, they've got the little bars on the side where they show the map of the business and you can call them directly by clicking a button in the search engine pages rather than going to their property and so on. So that concerns me a little bit. The enterprise of blogging is, you know, obviously you're doing it for a bit of fun in many cases, but it may be that you want to drive traffic to your business or what have you. And if Google can surface, I don't know, you type in, how do I fix a leak in my plumbing equipment? And it gives you the answer to that without needing to go to a particular website. That concerns me a little bit. And so who knows? I think the year 2025 will figure it out. I'm sure the lawyers are going to come and get all these AI companies at some point, because I feel like we all got co-opted into this experiment a little bit. And I don't quite know that we all knew where the opt-out button was for all of these things. So I don't know. I'm conflicted is the answer to that. Yeah.
That's interesting. So WordPress.com users can opt out.
Yes.
I also found it interesting that when Matt Mullenweg was interviewed by The Verge, he commented that the partnership with Perplexity, they're going to, I guess whatever happens, it's going to be, he says it's a much better revenue split than Google, which is zero. So,
okay. Well, anything, I guess, is going to be better. You know, I guess history would tell you to look at things like Spotify. You know, if you're a musician, that felt like a race to the bottom for musicians' bank balances. You know, I imagine the very successful musicians on Spotify are still very successful. But if you were just modestly successful, that might be difficult. So I don't know. I don't know how that argument will stack up with actual dollars. But we'll see. Yeah, so interesting times. 2025 will no doubt let us know. So that was our second story. Let's move on. And this next one is all about the revamped site streamlined pathways, new courses. A long way of saying that is go to learn.wordpress.org. You're going to find a nice new shiny website. Well, it's been around for a few weeks now, but it's been redesigned with blocks and what have you, and they've got this idea of pathways where you can, instead of sort of randomly cherry picking a particular article, now LMS style, you can, I don't know, you want to begin development of WordPress plugins, you follow that learning pathway. And the idea in the future is that all of these, like a spider diagram, will join up. You know, if you finish the beginner user WordPress course, that'll link you onto another one and so on and so forth. So there's not really a lot to say about this other than it's a beautiful initiative and totally free, which is just wonderful. So over to you if you've got anything to add to it.
I've got nothing else to add. I think it's fantastic. We had a media briefing recently with the contributors who led that project, and you can see how proud they are of the work, which is really nice. They put so much work into it. They had a relatively small team working on it, and I think they've produced a really polished site. It looks good and it's really helpful. I think the learning pathways are great. How they've categorize the content into beginner, intermediate, and developer for and advanced. Yeah, so people can choose between developing content, blogging, learning about WordPress. It's much easier to find an in into the content and find what works for you. I think it's great.
Yeah, and the quality of the content itself, if you just randomly pick one of the videos and watch them, they tend to be quite short, you know, 5-6 minutes, something like that, but they're really, really well put together. You know, long gone are the days where it was something thrown together by, a volunteer. It still is in many cases, that kind of contribution. But the topping and the tailing of it and the high quality and the way it's all been thrown together is just magnificent. So hats off to them. And if you're looking to contribute and you don't know where to contribute, but you know that you like teaching people, then this is probably a good place to go, because I know that they're desperate. I mean, multilingual might be a good thing. Translation, documenting it, putting the videos together, editing, all of that. Go to learn.wordpress.org and, you can find out more about it. But it looks beautiful and there's tons of new content. And again, getting back to a story which we'll no doubt repeat, you know, we're in the era of this new paradigm, blocks and building websites with blocks. People have to be taught this stuff. And so this is providing that opportunity. Okay, story number four is, we don't only want to surface the good. We're going to throw a light a little bit on some of the, you know, the bad things, for want of a better word. And this, yeah, that's right. This was a story which Ray spotted. It was WP Tot, so that's Paul C., who's a YouTuber with a really large following. He's been doing YouTube for absolutely ages. And I didn't catch sight of this video, but you did. And he was saying that the UX UI for Gutenberg, he said, was, air quotes, a disaster. Can you tell us more?
Yeah. So he recently, I'm not sure how many views it's racked up, but he recently published a video called WordPress is a UI UX disaster. Change my mind. It's only about 16 minutes long, but he takes a really critical look at WordPress from the perspective of a new user. So he logs into a fresh site and he pretends to be someone who's never used it, you know, clicking around, trying to figure out how to use the full site editor, going through the different data views, getting lost, trying to do things, ending up in places he wasn't expecting. And he actually does a really good job showing how it is a bit of a UX, you know, a bit of a mess in some places. And all this stuff is still being worked through, right? It's a work in progress. But, yeah, he describes it as bloody convoluted and a really disjointed mess that just isn't a nice place to work. And he's had, when I wrote a story about it, he had 276 comments on his video with a lot of people agreeing with him. So it's not just him, a lot of builders out there, WordPress builders, freelancers who feel very strongly about it and agree with him. So, yeah, it was really interesting. He quickly followed up that video with a live stream discussion with three other popular WordPress YouTubers. Imran Sadiq, who runs Web Squadron, Mark Crowell, who runs Wiki Design, and Jeffrey Dalrymple, who has Lightbox Studio on YouTube. Between the four of them, I can't even remember. So Paul, who runs WP Tuts, he has 169,000 subscribers. That's a pretty damn big audience. Yeah. And then combined with the others that he talked with afterwards in a live stream discussion following up his views on the WordPress UI UX, that's 300,000 subscribers there. But those four guys are all meeting regularly now to, I guess, air their frustrations with WordPress. It's really interesting. I think this story is really interesting in the context that it's almost feels like a bit of a YouTuber revolt against WordPress amongst WordPress YouTubers.
Yeah.
In the context of this recent positive work that Anne McCarthy from Automattic is doing around trying to unite YouTubers, and then you've got I don't want to call them dissenters, but for lack of a better word, dissenters who are airing their views. So she's really encouraging people to be open and vocal and speak their mind. But at the same time, I know this week she had a second follow-up call, which you joined.
Yeah.
What did you make of that call?
Paul C. was on the call as well. So the person responsible for the video that's under discussion. It was just an open discussion, but it didn't really get into the specifics of one particular thing. It certainly didn't sort of dwell on any particular video that people had made. I think the idea of those discussions is more to gain a little bit for Anne a sense of where the room is at. You know, what people's gripes are, what people think is working. And so, yeah, it wasn't quite related to that story in particular. It's kind of curious for me because I obsess about WordPress and I'm in it every day. The UI UX stuff is just muscle memory now. And the things that annoy me, I've completely worked around because I've just done it so many times. I know that if I click that thing, that's going to be the best way to get to the thing that I want to go to. And I know that if I don't know, right click here or do this or whatever. And so I find it hard to sort of empathize with the frustrations, not because I don't have empathy. It's just because in my own life, I kind of overcome them all one at a time and then stored that in my memory. But I can well imagine that if you chucked a complete novice in front of a WordPress website at the moment and said, okay, you can build the entire thing in this interface, you can do your menus, you can do headers and footers, and you can pick a theme and you can create posts and dynamic data, all of that sort of stuff is starting to come. It would be nigh on impossible. So I get it. I think Paul's onto something. And I do like the idea that he's meeting up regularly. I think it's kind of nice to have some corner of the internet in YouTube where some people get together and have a little bit of a grumble or a moan or what have you. You know, if everything's always shiny and perfect, that's not serving anybody. So there we go. So that was WP Tots. That was our fourth story. Shall we move on?
Yeah, we've still got quite a lot to cover.
We have. Well, let's get through what we can get through. And if we stop, we stop. So this next one, let's do this one quickly. This is WordCamp Europe, who in the year 2025, have organized the event, WordCamp Europe 2025, right across a seriously important festival in the Muslim calendar. And I think it was Shahaj and Jewel from Fluent CRM. Their WP Managed Ninja is the name of their overarching company. He pointed this out and said it would be akin to putting WordCamp US on the 25th of December, right across Christmas. Mm. The team came back and said, we can't change it because the venue's booked and changing things like venues is nigh on impossible. But it's kind of an interesting story just because it is. It's a global thing and you can't really not have things like that in mind, I guess. Because you hope to attract a global audience. I don't know whether this brouhaha is still going on or not, or people have just become resigned to the fact that this is how it is, but what's your take?
Yeah, I think, I guess what gives me is that from what I've seen, some people raised this as an issue last year, that the dates were so close last year or it conflicted. I'm not quite sure, but they were saying that, you know, please keep the dates in mind for next year. And, you know, different organising teams or different people working on WordCamp Europe, for whatever reason, it's been planned over the top of this very important Muslim holiday. Mm-hmm. So that's really unfortunate. It's definitely not going to happen in future if this incident is to be remembered in future years. So hopefully that will be a positive moving forward and it won't happen again. We live in a very global community, so it's a shame that this was missed, but hopefully it doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I guess the peculiar thing here is that I imagine if you pick almost any day on the 365 days of the year calendar, there's going to be something going on somewhere. But I think in this case, it's mitigated by the magnitude of that particular festival inside the magnitude of that community, because it's truly huge and it's a truly huge moment for those people. So the likening to it as being Christmas kind of hits the target perfectly. You know, if it was some minor festival that is celebrated by a subset of the Christian community, maybe it wouldn't have been such a big story. But anyway, yeah. So hopefully the idea here is just to put a calendar together of all of these different bits and pieces and not make the same mistake in the future. Okay. All right, then, let's move on. Number 7 this time around is a plugin called Qwikly. And you're not going to spell it right. I don't care how many times you get this. You're never going to get it. It's Qwikly. That's the name of the plugin. And, what's the story here? It's kind of back from the dead, the self-imposed dead.
Yeah. Every time I try to type it, I always muck it up. The founder, Louis, he must have named it to be easy, but I don't know, for whatever reason it's not easy for me. So is it back for good? Who knows? So I'd never heard about Qwikly until all of this drama. I don't know about you. So fans call it a visionary page builder, and so the story is a few months ago it was pulled offline. So the founder, Louis Alexander Desiree, I hope I'm saying his name correct. He announced in a very shocking announcement in March that he was sunsetting the page builder due to relentless criticism and personal attacks. Made this sudden announcement and then went offline and disappeared for a few weeks, and everyone was wondering what the hell happened. It was all very shocking at the time. I guess people didn't know, where did this criticism come from? Who was attacking him? People were interested to know what was actually, needed more context around what was happening. But then in July 11th to be exact, the Qwikly website was updated unexpectedly, and the plugin was made available to download for free. So what was previously something that people had to purchase is just now completely free. And Louis Alexander is saying that he's hoping to launch this free version of Qwikly in the WordPress plugin directory soon. And I am stumped because I have no idea what his plans are. I'm not sure how he's going to generate revenue from a free product. But he says that he said maintenance, patches, and support are fully funded for the next few years. So that's interesting. I don't know what his revenue strategy is going to be. I'm curious to see what happens.
Go to like the traditional model that other things use, you know, to have like this core free offering, and then they'll build other things on top. I don't think its reach was truly all that enormous, but at the time there were certain parts of the WordPress ecosystem that really jumped on board. There were certain people that were pushing it as a really great alternative. I mean, I think it was like a suite of blocks, or certainly worked inside the block editor, and it handled things like grid, as far as I'm aware, pretty well, which a lot of things don't. And so it showed a lot of promise. And then obviously, you know, the founder disappearing with a set of tweets which implied that they had received some level of abuse. Certainly they weren't feeling welcomed or happy in the WordPress community. That's never to be commended, but going silent, obviously, if you've been marketing a product for a very long time and you've got businesses who are now banking on your product as the way that they're going to continue in business, you know, they're selling it on to clients or they've encouraged clients to use it and so on, and to overnight go out of business, well, that's fine, that is your prerogative, of course. But the curious bit at the tail end of this is, how do you come back with that? How do you rebuild that trust with the exact same audience, because presumably it's just going to be the same people that are interested in it. Maybe not if it's free, don't know. But there's always going to be that question mark, isn't there? What really is the runway here? How long can we trust this? Can we trust it? Is the person going to, feel the same level of anxiety or whatever it was and disappear again. So anyway, as with all things, I hope it works out for them. I really do. But a curious story, unlike one I've seen before. Okay, number eight. We're doing all right. We might not get through them all right, but let's see where we get. Mid-year update. WordPress to power 85% of the web. Is this just some sort of aspirational piece about we're going to grow it? It's going from 43 to 85. That's the target for WordPress. What's this about?
This was almost a throwaway line during Matt Mullenweg's mid-year update. So just trying to recall, because this is a while ago now. So his quote, to quote him, he said, we don't have to be 100%. So he was talking around, you know, market share and, you know, WordPress is always, he set this 50% goal, right, that he wanted WordPress to power 50% of the web. And so during the mid-year update, he said, announced that WordPress was starting to pick up steam again after several years of flatness, I think was the word that he used, but WordPress growth was plateauing at around, 42-43%. And he said he was excited to announce that WordPress was starting to grow again and starting to put a few more points on the board, as he put it. And to quote him, he said, we don't have to be 100%, but we could at least make 85% of the free web and enforce all the proprietary people to open up with data liberation. That would be a good life goal, is how he put it. Mm. So can WordPress make it to 85?
I don't know is the answer to that. I mean, honestly, if you'd have said to me a decade ago it's going to get to 40 anything, I'd have been, no way, that's not going to happen. Some new upstart will come along and turn the whole thing upside down. And yet here we are. Some part of me thinks, is 85% share for anything healthy?
But I wondered the same thing.
Yeah, I guess the difference here, though, is if it's open source and, you know, read that how you like, then there's at least that. But I don't know. I don't know if you can convince 85 people out of 100 to pick the same platform over and over and over again. And I think some of the stories we're about to hop into in terms of commercial rivals for WordPress, they're going to make that landscape harder and harder over the years to come. So anyway, it was an interesting, whether it was a, I don't think it was a slip of the tongue, was it? Because it was it in the slides that were going with it, or was he just sort of riffing at the time that he said that?
I think he might have been riffing. It hasn't been followed up. Be interested to see if he says it again in a future state of the word or some other update. So anyway, something to bookmark.
I won't be feeling disappointed if we don't get to 85%. You know, if it continues to rise at a steady clip, that would be amazing. I think even if it stayed in the 40s, that's still pretty amazing. And you've got to pinch yourself once in a while and think, how did that happen? That's remarkable. Okay, so the next one is also Matt Mullenweg related, and this was just something that came about on Matt's blog, and it was in the announcement for WordPress 6.6. Again, all of these links in the show notes. This is number 9 now. And that is to say that when WordPress 6.6 came out, it kind of coincided just randomly with a bit of a PR snafu from Webflow. It was Webflow, wasn't it? You got me. I think it was Wix.
And,
you got me to correct it. Thank you. Where they put the prices up somewhat unexpectedly to a cohort of their users, and it seems that they went up quite dramatically. And so Matt, in his post announcing 6.6, was able to allude to the fact, you know, come over here, the water's warm, kind of thing. You know, you don't have to.
The grass is greener.
Yeah, the grass is greener over here. That kind of thing. And I hadn't really heard that being mentioned before. I think, you know, sometimes it's better not to mention the competition. And I hadn't really heard Matt mention the competition, but it was kind of interesting, that allusion. Don't know if you've got anything to add to that one.
No, I think it was just pointing out, you know, the open source nature of WordPress. And there were a lot of really angry folks on social media and Twitter in particular after Webflow jacked up their prices. It was really interesting to see the discussion. Suddenly everyone's like, yeah, you know, we were, you know, showing their pride in WordPress despite all the grumblings.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't have licensing. And it was interesting to see in Matt's announcement on his blog that he says, you know, there's some fun stuff cooking in WordPress and, you know, there's more to come.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we'll try and encapsulate points number 10 and 11 on our spreadsheet here. So stories number 10 and 11 on our show notes, put them into the same bucket. And this is events, really. And I think this conversation could be just much bigger than these two events. So the first one was about WordCamp Canada, which was the first event of its kind. The first, well, I think it was called WordCamp A. Because the Canadians apparently love might it. Say A at the end of things. Yeah, it's nice. And the fact that whether or not there was the kind of attendance they would have liked to have seen. I know that the tickets going on sale at the beginning weren't selling out as quickly, but it sounds from the event after the fact, it sounds as if the tickets sold to a good level, if not selling out. You know, they got to a decent point where the event was definitely worth putting on. But then also, WordCamp Netherlands had to be rescheduled recently. And again, maybe I'm just reading between the lines a little bit. It felt as if maybe the attendance was the problem there, but also maybe it was to do with the capacity or otherwise of the people involved in organizing it. So really what these two stories are pointing to is there trouble at Mill? At WordPress events. And then you've got the whole thing, next gen events, trying to regenerate events after the pandemic and so on. So I have no intuition on this, but it does seem as if we are facing something of a crisis trying to get people back in the room. I'm involved in organizing the WordPress London meetup.
And, well, I was going to ask, what's your insight there, you know, as an organizer?
That's going well. Because that's an established event. It kind of went online. The community there is strong. You know, it's in London. It's one of the biggest cities on earth. So there is that chance for it to work again. But things like organizing the event, the room hire and all of that has become more difficult because of the cost and so on. But these bigger events, I just don't know. Can we in the next decade, can we expect 18-year-olds, 18, 20, 25, 30-year-olds, is this the kind of thing that even excites them? You know, these people have got other things to do. They've got TikTok to scroll through, for example. You know, I just don't know. And when I turn up to events, you don't see so many young people. So really, those stories are just about my curiosity about whether or not we're going to be able to carry on events that are exciting, interesting. You've obviously got, you know, Jamie Marsland trying to spice things up a little bit with his speed builds, which is, in his own words, he said it to me, it's entertainment. There's learning in there, but it's entertainment wrapped with learning. You know, entertainment first, learning is a lovely byproduct of that. And I wonder if these events need things more like that. You know, you want to go and have a good time with your free time, maybe. Anyway, over to you if you've got anything.
Oh, God, we could spend a whole podcast unpacking this one.
Well, we can't.
Where to even start? It was really great to see WordCamp Canada happen. You know, the organizing team put so much work into that, and it was really lovely to see all of the recaps talking about just what a cozy event. It looked really intimate and cozy, and like everybody got together and had a great time. I'm really hoping WordCamp Netherlands kicks off. They've got a new organizing team. And it sounds like they've just needed a bit more help with raising awareness. It's really great to see that the WordPress community team has reviewed providing a marketing budget to organizers. So in the past couple of weeks, they've announced that organizers can now access, it's a proposal, hasn't been approved yet, but the idea is that organizers will be able to access up to $400 for marketing to spend on marketing activities. So I'm not exactly sure what that will be, maybe social media posts, maybe printing posters, I don't know. But It's interesting. Marketing is such a big part of organising any event. I was really interested to see how WordCamp Asia did it this year. I don't know if you know much about that, Nathan, but
no.
Speaking with John Ang, who was one of the organisers, you know, they put a lot of work into outreach to Taiwanese organizations and open source and computer related tech related organizations, and so they had about 30% of attendees to their WordCamp were locals. So there's definitely a case for organizing teams trying to outreach beyond the typical WordPress circles. Yeah, then maybe that's where we need to go, and just not relying on the usual WordPress people to just automatically come to events. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how this pans out in the next couple of years.
The fact that there is now money available, and I think you're right, I think it was $400 US, which, you know, when you actually look at it, doesn't feel like a lot, but it's literally an infinite amount more than was available previously. So it is something. But it's definitely going to have to be used intelligently, because I can imagine, you know, you sync that into Facebook or Google Ads or something like that, you're going to, in a heartbeat, that will be gone. So we'll have to be clever with that. And maybe, you never know, maybe those things will get revised up. But it does speak to the fact that at least there is recognition that events, bringing events back is tough. And there may be a commercial aspect to that, you know, paying for the whatever it is that needs to be paid for. And in this case, marketing. Something connected to that is I had a chat. So this is very self-serving. I had a chat over on the WP Tavern website, and it was with a chap called Abraham Whiter, who is in the Uganda WordPress community. So this is more about community, not events necessarily. But this was one of my picks for the last 3 months, just because it was so interesting getting a window into a totally different part of the world than really I have any relationship with. So the story here was that they are helping young people, so school-aged people, to learn WordPress, and it's becoming something akin to a part of the curriculum. So whoever is in charge of making these decisions sat down and made a decision that open source was the way to go and WordPress was the way to go, because they could see that there was a direct line between educating children in how to use it and then jobs on the other side, you know, jobs without boundaries. You don't have to be anywhere. It's all distributed, this kind of work nowadays. And so Abraham just totally explained how all of that works and how they've been educating these youngsters, but also telling me about the problems that they face, the things that stymie them all the time. So the lack of equipment that they've got, the lack of servers that they've got. And so linking to that as well is this other thing about WordPress Playground, which I'll throw in, where I'm thinking that will be really useful in the future. Playground has come along, not in the last 3 months, but it's gone offlineable in the last 3 months. So if you close it down, it's now available to you afterwards. This was something that he mentioned, you know, and if that capacity exists, it will make the work of building websites and educating these children a lot easier. So it was just a lovely, heartwarming story. So again, over to you if you've got anything to add.
Oh, I love it. I love all these stories coming out of Uganda recently.
Yeah.
They had their showcase recently where they invited students, primary school, I think, high school students, maybe university students as well, to show off the projects that they're building with WordPress. I love it. It's great to see all of this happening in Uganda, that they're really, you know, being empowered to build and to, you know, develop careers as web developers. I think it's fantastic. And to think that it's going to be in the educational curriculum, that's amazing.
Isn't that great? If I was to poll a list of the stories that typically make it into my newsletter, and you could probably do the same for yourself, it would be interesting where the geography of that landed, because I'm guessing it would be largely dominated by North America and Europe, with maybe a lot of Asian companies as well would be part of the mix there. But the whole African thing doesn't seem, in my estimation, at least anyway, that's not a part of the world where I'm hearing a lot of news. But increasingly, that seems to be happening. And obviously, if you're putting the children through education, well, wait 5 years and you can imagine that it'll be it really solid. But Abraham was at pains to point out that the community itself is thriving over there. They can barely keep up with the interest, which is really different given what we've talked about was keeping events going and so on.
Okay.
We're at the last one, Ray. We're on the last one. We made it. This is number 15 story. Let's keep this brief because we're just about topping out on an hour. This is just something coming to WordPress, a website near you soon. This is data view. So this is the ability for you to, I don't know, let's say you're on the post screen and you've got a vanilla version of WordPress. There's not a lot you can do in there. You can just look at the name of the post and you click the edit button and you can, I don't know, see the excerpt and what have you. You can make things visible by clicking the settings and things like that. The idea is that in the future, a lot of that will be open to wrangling and you'll be able to put different pieces, bits and pieces in there. That's just one example. You could do the same with users and all sorts of other things. But anytime you see data laid out in a table inside a WordPress, that's going to be open to whatever novel way you want to display it. It's the realm of plugins at the minute or your own code, but it's going to be available to anybody. So you can customize the way your WordPress looks on the back end. Which will be neat, right? Nice little change.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And McCarthy is looking for people to help test this. So I really encourage people to get amongst it and help out and contribute. I think it's great. Earlier in the conversation, you mentioned that you couldn't really empathize with people who are who are criticizing, you know, using the back end of WordPress. I kind of feel the same. I recently updated my site with Ollie, and hats off to the guys, Mike McAllister, for building that. It just makes WordPress a lot easier. You do come across things that frustrate you, you know, building sites, but you just kind of get around it and get used to it and find ways to fix things. After installing a couple of different page builders, I just went back to using Gutenberg. I just keep coming back to it. It really is the future, I think.
Yeah. That's
I just get frustrated by page builders at the moment. They just seem to add too much, and that's not what I want. So, really interesting to see where this goes. Oh, can we finish one more thing?
Yeah.
One last thing.
It's like Steve Jobs at the end of one of his talks. And what does he say? Thing. And the crowd go wild.
I'm excited to see that WP Tavern is back. And just want to wish Gelsner all the best with her work keeping the tavern. Well, you've been keeping it going.
Well, small amount of indignation there because I've heard this a lot. You know, the tavern's dead, and I keep muttering under my breath, "It's not dead. It's just dead. Now become a podcast." That was interesting for me because it was fascinating when you logged into the back end. One of the things that always happened when there was Justin Tadlock and Sarah Gooding, if you logged into the media library, featured images for my podcast episodes basically look the same. You know, they've got the same background and everything is identical, whereas their featured images for their posts, everyone was unique. And so there'd be one of mine, and then there'd be like a mixture of 10, 15 or 20 from Sarah and Justin. And then when Justin left, Sarah ramped up, and so the same thing. But over the last, I don't know, 8 months, it's been mine. But now it's not. Now it's a mixture again of ones coming from hopefully, I can't say because I don't know, but hopefully this will turn into, you know, a regular gig and there'll be some other people joining in as well. But yeah, it's nice. Really nice.
It's great. It's great to see more analysis of what's happening in the community. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so Let's hope it doesn't stifle your ambitions over at the repository.news.
Oh, I haven't pointed it yet.
That's our Yeah, that's right. That's it. Well, you never know. You've planted the seed. Hopefully flowers will blossom. Oh, is that an expression? Flowers will bloom. Let's go with that. We're about an hour in, and that seems the perfect place to stop. All I can say is thank you so much, Ray. You put a lot of work into your own production, but also helping me out put this show together. We've spent way more than an hour getting this out, so I really appreciate that. Hopefully we'll have you back in 3 months' time. Yeah, thank you very much.
My pleasure. I'm really, really excited to keep doing this and to be chatting about the news.
Let's see where we go. Thanks so much, Ray. Take it easy.
Thank you. See you later.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed that. Although there is a tear in my eye saying goodbye to David Wormsley, I hope that you can see that in the future, new shows like this will add something different to the WP Builds experience. We've got a whole host of new shows coming up with some really well-known names in the WordPress community spanning all sorts of different fields within that space. So keep your eyes peeled. I will let you know as those shows drop. But the idea is to drop them between the interviews. So going forwards, hopefully we'll have an interview episode and then one of these new shows. So it'll be interview, new show. And there's lots of new faces coming to the WP Builds podcast. So it's very exciting. If you've got anything to say about that episode, please go to WP Builds, search for episode number 386, and leave us a comment there. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also sponsored by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. We're also sponsored by OmniSend. OmniSend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Well, try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And finally, we are sponsored by Memberful. Building a membership website? Check out Memberful. Memberful allows you to easily add gated content, private member spaces, payment collection, and more to your WordPress website. Get started for free at memberful.com/WPBuilds. That's memberful.com/WPBuilds. And sincere thanks go out to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, OmniSend, and Memberful for their continued support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, that is all that I've got for you this week. Very exciting, though it is. I'm going to have to draw a line under it. I'm going to fade in some very cheesy AI music and say, stay safe. Have a good week. Bye for now.